Father, we thank you right now that you are the joy of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you're the strength of our life. You're the light of our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The strength of our life. Whom shall we be afraid? Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, that we woke up this morning and your mercies was new to us. They are new every morning. We thank you that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We love you, God, and you loved us first. And we thank you now. We thank you for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came, hung, bled, and died that we might have a right to eternal life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name that you would touch not only me, but touch those hearers on today. Father, touch them with the finger of love. And Father, whatever their need is today, we declare that we know that it's in you that you're able to supply all our need according to your riches and glory. Father, we ask you now in the name of Jesus that you would just have your way, Lord God. Have your way till sinners are converted. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way until those that are sick are healed. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way until the devil is run out of our minds. Oh, God, have your way in this place. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith. The word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace and joy and prosperity to all that hear and believe. We thank you, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you for the word that sustains and strengthens us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us, that cures us and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment of worship, because, Lord God, if it had not been for you, we wouldn't be here today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We're ever grateful for you being in our life. We're ever grateful for you giving us mercy and grace when we don't deserve it, Lord God. You've blessed us. You've kept us. And you look beyond all of our faults and you saw what we needed and you blessed us. And we thank you. We're thankful today, Lord God. And Lord, after you've done all you want to do in this service, after you've healed, delivered, set free, blessed our souls, made us happy and joyous, oh God, we thank you now. We'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare in your presence that you are holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Used for a title or thought or a tag. Introducing Jesus. Introducing Jesus. We have to understand that if you don't understand that Jesus is God, because somebody is torn between who they are to pray to, because they're saying, well, you know, I don't know if I need to pray to God and go by him and do like the Jehovah Witness and go past Jesus and just, you know, I'll be a Jehovah Witness, or do I need to go to Jesus? And Jesus said, if you're in me, you can go to the Father. But he said, when you come and go to the Father, he said, you have to come and you have to speak in my name, so you'll know, so the Father will know that you're in me and I'm in you, and both of us are in him. Come on and say amen. Hallelujah. When I look at who Jesus is, look at the 18 verse of that same chapter. No man has seen God at any time, only but the only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So Jesus is saying, I'm declaring who the Father is. I'm showing you who he is. Come on and say amen. And so he is the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. He is the Word that created everything that was made. Look at verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. Before anything was created, this is how it was, is what the Bible said. John said, this is how it was. I'm going to tell you how it was, but I'm going to tell you how it is too. Not only was he the creative power, but he still is the creative power. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand that today, who he is. So I'm introducing to you who Jesus is. Now, it says in verse, let's go on to verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's look at him in reference to the galaxies, in the extent of creation. It invalidates the theory of evolution, because evolution says that there was a big bang and then things begin to get in place and things begin to orchestrate and happen, and they don't believe in the intelligent design of God. Come on and say amen. But when you look at this, it debunks that theory, and it lets us know that all things were made intelligently. Come on and say amen. I know our children have to go to school. They have to take tests based on evolution theories, how the minnow became a fish, and the fish became a frog, and the frog got on the earth, and the frog began to get legs and become a monkey, and then the monkey became a man. All of that, I understand they teach all of that. But even the man who came up with the theory died a Christian and said he was wrong. Isn't there something? The galaxies were created by him. He says all things were made by him. The word made, that word means to be created from nothing. God looked into nothing. He saw nothing, but spoke something and created everything. How powerful. If God is that powerful, we worried about our trials. If he can speak a word and into nothing. And sometimes people say, you ain't nothing. Oh, but he spoke a word to me and made me something. Lord, y'all help me today. Oh, yeah, he spoke into nothing. He made something. And what we try to borrow and help science out by saying, well, yeah, God used certain things that was already there to create certain things that was there. But no, God didn't use anything that was already there. He used his word to create what was here. There was no matter until God spoke to make matter. Amen. There was nothing in existence. There was nothing there until God spoke and things became. Amen. And so when we look at this, we understand that he made all things. He made the galaxies. And when we talk about atoms, and then we talk about protons and neutrons, and we get down into the atom, and when you get down into the deepest part of the atom, that they said it is related to, it looks like sound. It looks like sound. And so I thought about that. I said, well, if that part of the atom looks like sound, then guess what? That means that that's the pure word of God that's still sustaining the atom. It's still keeping the atom going. It keeps matter continuing in the earth or in space or wherever it is. He created the galaxies, and I don't know how many he created, but that's his business. He told me to take care of my corner, and I'm going to do that part. But thanks be to God that he created the galaxies. Amen. He created what we call the Milky Way. And he created all of the things that consist in it. The sun, the star systems that we see. He created that. If you read Genesis, you'll find out that he created the stars also. That's what the scripture says. He hung the sun and the moon in the sky. And he created the stars. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah. So when we look at this, he says that, and all things that were made were not made. Anything that was not made, that was not made by him. We understand that it has to be made by him. So if it was made by him, I'm made by him. The Bible says that when God created man, he didn't do as he did everything else. He didn't just speak and then it became a bunch of matter that came together. He didn't speak. Now, when I back up and think about the Big Bang theory, when I think about that, I say, well, you know what? It could make sense. Y'all bear with me. It could make sense because anytime there's light, you hear bang. Anytime you hear light, you see lightning, there's always a boom. So what man is looking at is the reaction from the light. And things came together because God spoke. When God spoke, and the Bible says that sounded like great thunders when he spoke. When Moses went up on the mountaintop, it sounded like great thunders, and they heard thundering and lightning. Come on and say amen. Even when the Bible says when Herod spoke, but he spoke as God spoke, and it was God that spoke through him, it was thunder. Even when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that it was like thunder that rolled in the atmosphere, and the Bible said that it darkened the sky. Y'all don't hear me today. Oh, Lord, help me now. So when we look at this and we understand who he is, we understand that he's the creator. He didn't take man and just speak man into existence, but he looked at, and this is how important we are. He looked at everything that he made and he said, it's good. But then when he saw it was some residue that was just floating around in the wind, and he caught it in his hand. He didn't take, we think that he took like a Play-Doh man and dug mud up out the hole and made man. And we get all into the flesh because, oh, it was the Garden of Eden that he dug the mud up and he made a mud man and blow. No, God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to get his hands muddy. God saw the dust floating around in the air. He just said, now what am I going to do with that? And he caught it. And he made man and blew, and there it was. God is so powerful that he can catch dust, blow in it, and it become a man. Oh, come on, don't sleep on me now. It becomes a man. And you women are worried about where I'm going to get me a man from. You need to say, God, you did it before. Lord, help me to say. If God caught the dust before, Lord, help me. I'm just trying to see if you're awake. Amen. Somebody say amen anyway. And in him was life. In him was life. And life was the light of men. We look at him not only in the as the relations to God, but in relation to the galaxies, but in relation to the glorious gospel. He says, in him was life. You can't have life outside of him. In him, he is the Prince of Life. In him was life. Come on and say amen. If you want to have life, you got to have the word of God. Your life begins to die. Your life begins to deteriorate. Your life begins to be destroyed when you don't have the word. Oh, come on and say me. Why do you think it's built in you that when things are not going right, you say, man, I need to go to church? It's built in you because God knows to set that alarm off in you that when things start going downhill, you need a word. Oh, my God. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and helps you to understand what God is doing in your life. Come on and say hallelujah. He said, in him was the life, and the life was in the light, was the light of men. Light was the light of men. When you look at light and life, they are products of salvation. But when you look at darkness and death, they are products of sin. Come on and say amen. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Come on and say hallelujah. And so when we look at how powerful God is and how omnipotent he is, we look at the glorious gospels and we understand the gospel is the remedy or the answer or the antidote to everything that we may have an issue with in life. If we understand the gospel, if we understand the word of God, I don't care what issue comes up in your life, you'll say Jesus is the answer for all my troubles. Come on and say amen. You'll understand that no matter what the enemy brings your way, if you can just call on the name of Jesus, he said that demons fear and tremble at that name. He says that at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Do I have any witnesses here that understand that today, that we have to understand that is that in him is the life and light. Death and darkness versus light and life. You see, when we live in sin, we have death and darkness in our life. But when we come to the light, oh, come on and say amen. The Bible says that we ought to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we can't be afraid when things are happening in the world, because the Bible declares to us that when we hear people say, oh, he said he's coming like a thief in the night. But guess what he said to the believer? He said, brethren, that day won't overtake you as a thief because you walk in the light. We're able to see where we're going. We're able to see when he's coming. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to his name. I'm almost done here. And he said death and darkness. They when we look at death and darkness, it produces sin. But when we look at life and light, it produces salvation. Come on and say amen. And so when light shines in darkness, when he talks about that, let's see, he says that in verse 5, and light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When he talks about that, he's talking about the incarnation. He's talking about Jesus came in a cold, dark, dying world. Do I have any witnesses? So much so that it was a lot of death when he was born, because they begin to kill all the babies, all the young people. A whole generation died. Generation of men, of boys died because of light coming into the world. Do I have any witnesses here? When you come to the light, when you understand the light, something dies when light shows up. Your flesh have to die when light shows up. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand the devil wants to kill when light shows up. Why do you think, come on and say, man, why do you think the enemy is after those who he can get to kill, steal, and destroy? Because the Bible declares in Revelation that he has but a short time, and he knows it. That's why he's trying to take as many of them as he can. He's trying to take as many children, as many young people, as many old people. I wish I had somebody. If you're old and you're living for the devil, he ain't worried about you at all. But if you're trying to make 100, because 99 and a half won't do, he's coming at you because of the word of God. But thanks be to God, Jesus said, don't worry, I've already overcome the world. I wish I have somebody in here this morning that say, I'm with you, preacher. I understand what you're saying, and I understand who Jesus is. Thank you for giving me this introduction of who Jesus is. He said, because of sin, the world was dark. But Jesus, the light of the world, he shined in darkness. But the Bible says that men rejected who he was. They still reject who he is. They don't want to believe that he is the only begotten of the Father. They don't want to believe he's the same essence as God. They don't want to believe that he is who he is. That's why you see in the world people walking away from being Christians. People deciding that they want to be agnostics, and they want to be Buddhists, and they want to be Hindus and Muslims and whatever else they can be. Everybody want to be something other than being a Christian. All these young black men that say, I want to be what I was before I came over here on the boat, before we were slaves. Well, let me tell you what you were, pagans. Come on and say amen. Let me tell you something else. Before that, Jesus, the Bible says that the Ethiopian eunuch preached in Africa and made them Christians. And later on, the Muslims came and made them Muslims. I wish I had somebody. So when we talk about our Kuta Kinte, who came over here a Muslim, it was because he was a slave to the Muslim, not because he was free to. I wish I had somebody here. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. We got to understand something here, that we got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what separates us from everybody else. We're all good until you mention the name Jesus. Oh, yeah, you can go to work and not say nothing about Jesus, and people will love you. But as soon as you say, oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they get mad with you. They don't like you. They didn't like each other before you got there, but now that you're there, they all together, and they want to conspire against you because of the name of Jesus. There are many things that's going to happen to you because of the name of Jesus. And what we got to understand, brothers and sisters, is that that name is the only thing that's going to keep us. He said he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He tells us that that name is, he said, is a strong tower, and the righteous can run to it, and we can be safe in the name of Jesus. Do I have anybody here that understand what I'm talking about? You see, they reject and rebel against the word of God. They rebel against Jesus Christ. The Bible said the carnal mind in Romans 8 is enmity against God. In other words, because I think carnal, I think like the world, I think about the flesh, I don't see spiritually who he is, I don't understand spiritually, then my whole life is being a rebel against God. But brothers and sisters, whenever I come to myself and say, you know what, my mind ain't right, so I got to take on the mind of Christ. I wish I had somebody. When I understand what he says in Romans 12, where Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know that good, that perfect and acceptable will of God. Do I have anybody that say, I'm being transformed? I'm transformed out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's translated me out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. Do I have anybody? When a person walk in darkness, you know how it is when you're in darkness. Some of us, we like to sleep in darkness, and that's all right to sleep when it's dark. Come on and say amen. But if somebody walked in the room and turned the light on in your face, it makes you mad. You can't open your eyes. So brothers and sisters, let me tell you, because you come on the job and your light shining, people are going to get mad because the light just came in the room and darkness had to go. Do I have a witness here? You better beware of people that like to do stuff late in the dark. They creep and crawl all night long. I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and say yes here. But we got to get to a place where we start loving the light, because it is the light that's going to get us to where we need to go. You ever hear people who have near-death experiences? They talk about how I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and they start going toward the light. We need to walk in the light. Oh, come on and say amen. It is the light of God, and the light is the life of man. I got the life of God on the inside of me, and that's why I can sing that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and it may not shine like yours, but I'm still going to let it shine. Do I have anybody? Are you lit up this morning? I got my light shining. Even though it's daylight, you can still see my light. That is the real light, the real light of the world. Oh, come on and say yes here. And it reminds me of people. Let me tell you something. If you walk in the light and you go in a dark room, it's almost if you can't see nothing. You know why? Because you don't belong in darkness. You belong in the light. And so in your life, when you walked in the light and you decide to go back in darkness, you can't see what's around you, and you don't know where the danger is. So don't trust the darkness. Stay your behind in the light. Do I have anybody here? Oh, come on and say yeah. Say yes. When it said in verse 5, it says, and darkness comprehended it not. In other words, darkness didn't understand the light. You trying to explain yourself to people who don't have no light. You trying to explain yourself and trying to tell them who Jesus is, and they can't wrap their mind around it. Because brother, let me tell you, you got to get them out of darkness so that they can understand this light, the light of the world. They don't understand you. They don't understand why you go to church every Sunday morning. They don't understand why you don't want to work on Sundays. They don't understand why on Wednesday and Thursday you say, I got to go to prayer and Bible study. They don't understand how you take $10 out of every $100 and give it to the church, because they don't understand, because you walk in the light. Do I have any witness? Come on and say yes here and give God some praise. But one thing I want to show you is, not only does that word come from hearing mean they don't understand, but it also means that they don't overcome. So darkness can't overcome the light. Do I have any witnesses? So what am I saying today? That as long as you walk in the light, you got victory. As long as you walk in the light, sickness may come. Oh, come on and say yes. They may lie on you. They may talk about you. But don't worry about it, because you walk in the light. Come on and say yes. Let me tell you what the light did. The light came down, was born in a manger in Bethlehem, born to a virgin by the name of Mary. The light came, walked the dusty roads of Galilee, gave sight to the blind, opened up deaf ears, raised people from the dead. The same light fed 5,000 souls. The same light walked on water. The same light chose his pulpit to be in a boat. The same light, when it came time to save my soul, he took up a rugged cross, went up a hill called Calvary, and he died. The same light died. He died to the sun. The S-U-N refused to shine because there was a brighter light. The S-O-N began to shine, but he didn't have a grave to put himself in because he was letting us know, I didn't come to stay, I came to die. But when he came to die, they put him in a borrowed tomb, but he didn't stay in the borrowed tomb. He only needed it for the weekend, because early, somebody say early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Anybody know this power? This is the kind of power that wakes you up in the middle of the night and tell you it's time to pray. This is the same power that gets you up early in the morning and you open up your mouth and say, thank you for waking me up this morning. It's the same power that when you hear the word of God, you can say hallelujah and amen. The same power that rise up in me when the enemy comes in like a flood is this power that lifts up a standard. Do I have anybody? Someone and say yeah. If you don't know Jesus, let me introduce you. Oh, come on and say yeah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my friend when I'm friendless, my mother when I'm motherless. He's my bridge over troubled water. Let me introduce you. He's my honey in the rock. If you try him, you'll find out that he's all right to live with, all right to die with. Say yes. Won't God bless you? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he heal your body? Won't he save your soul? I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know him? I say, have you ever tried him? Did you ever try Jesus? And it seemed like all hope was gone. But I looked at Jesus and said, Lord, if you did it before, I know you can do it again. If you heal Peter's mother or his mother-in-law, I know you can heal me. Oh, come on and say yes. And when I die, I'm going to say, if you can raise Lazarus, I know you can raise me. The Bible says when he come back, he said, those that are dead in the Lord, they'll be raptured up. They'll be caught up to meet him in the sky. But we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Do I have anybody? After the dead in Christ rise, come on and say yes. I'm looking forward to that great getting up morning where Jesus cracks the sky and all my loved ones, they'll rise from the dead. And if I'm right, I'll rise in the life of God. Come on and say yes. If you can't say yes, say I know he's all right. Why is he all right? Because he blessed my life. Why is he all right? Because he gave me eternal life. Why is he all right? Because he picked me up, turned my life around. Why is he all right? Because every time I turn around, the Lord, say the Lord, keeps on blessing me. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Goodbye, church.
I'm going to let you go on. I know you're looking at your watch. Some of you are already sleeping. Some of you are ready to go home. Some of you are thinking about Southern Classic. But before we go, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Now round your head back and say, yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana,